Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone, we here at the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast are in the midst of awards season, which coupled with real life work obligations by both Ryan and myself has put us way behind the power curve. So right now we're going to just talk about a metric ton of films quickly to tell you what we think of them. At some point we may even talk, what we've been watching for awards, but we've got to talk about stuff that's coming out in theaters or has just come out in theaters. So, Ryan, hi, how you doing?
Hi. I'm surviving. 'Tis the season.
Right. Yeah. Right.
For surviving.
Yes, please. Everyone survive.
So, yeah. We're going to play the game of, have we both watched the same movie?
Let's start with some easy ones that I know we have both watched. Coming out in next week, but we can talk about it. Timothy Chalamet in Wonka, mm-hmm. from Warner Brothers. It is the prequel that nobody asked for. It's the prequel that nobody was clamoring for. There hasn't been a multi-year movement. So after the Johnny Depp, Tim Burton, Willy Wonka, I thought we were done. I thought we had just decided that we were going to just leave the Gene Wilder bit of perfection as it is. But we decided not to. Again, Chalamet plays a young pre-factory, pre-chocolate store chocolatier.
And I would say pre-cynical, he's still idealistic.
Yes, he is an idealistic young man. Is it fair to say that Johnny Depp's Wonka had daddy issues? This Wonka has mommy issues.
To a degree, yes.
I'm not like Oedipal issues, mom is the inspiration. He strives. She is his North Star, if you will. But
his belief in magic.
Yes.
And her magic. In a way, she is definitely the driving force behind why he does what he does.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, that is why does he do this? For her.
Yep.
That's fair.
Yeah. And in this film, we get how he does what he does to try to do it, which is he has to defeat the chocolate cartel.
Yes.
Who control all of the candy in the city. They corrupt they control a corrupt police force to keep a possible competition out. The police chief is played by Keegan-Michael Key, and he's great in this. I love his police chief. I think that part of this film is just really done because it's so whimsically over the top compared to everything else in this film. I think his character and his situation, I just think is just, it's so over the top and yet so silly. Wonka, you expect a certain amount of magic. You expect You know, that's kind of baked into what you expect from a Willy Wonka character. But you didn't really get that in either of the other two films. There's not really another character.
No, that's probably true. Top. He has Violet syndrome to a certain extent too.
Yeah. And then of course the big thing coming in, is we get a retcon of the origin of the Oompa Loompas. They nod to the original.
Well, I would say it's an absolute retcon to the version of that is in the Tim Burton version, which I don't recall exactly, but I in a lot of ways the Tim Burton film was closer to the book than it's absolutely different. I think it's kind of preferable to what we saw in Burton's version of.
But yeah, so the one Oompa Loompa is played by Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Did he lose a bet?
He loved working with this crew on Paddington 2.
And I finally watched that for everyone out there. We've referenced Paddington 2 on occasion, and about how I haven't watched it yet. I bought it to force myself to watch it. And thoroughly enjoyable film. Absolutely 100%. And he's awesome in it. That said, I have issues with my Oompa Loompas.
In general, or this particular telling of them?
I don't like this. I don't know. They've made him like snarky car salesman.
They've taken it from him being kind of I think there's some racial stuff, obviously, when we're talking Oompa Loompa. And I think in one thing they've done in this version is to take it out of the idea that this is a slave. I think they've done some things that just that make the character more. It's not the indentured servant element, I guess.
I never considered them indentured.
Or servants, the colonialism.
Yeah, I guess, you know. if we want to go there.
That might be just me. But that's, yeah, I'm fine with, I like the idea of that they're actually, that this is kind of a revenge plot for...
for the Oompa Loompa, I know, right?
For the Oompa Loompa. I was okay with that.
Absolutely. It's an interesting take, the smarmy car salesman thing just kind of, I don't know. It's Hugh Grant's almost becoming Ryan Reynolds in that he doesn't really play his characters. He just kind of plays Hugh Grant, the way Ryan Reynolds just kind of plays Ryan Reynolds.
Or he plays the Hugh Grant persona.
Yeah. That's fair and accurate, but you know, I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's not a bad film by any stretch.
I am much higher on this film than you are.
Apparently, although
and
fair,
higher than a lot of people. Too.
I will couch some of my displeasure and reticence toward this film in with a half an admission, and that is when I was in elementary school, there was a school play that was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, in which my older brother played Charlie Bucket and I played another unspecified role. So I have my own critical thoughts on the entire Willy Wonka mythos. for that reason, and that's all the farther I'm going to go into on that.
We all have trauma.
And that's mine. But again, I love the original. So it's not like I hate. Why can't we make Wonka and the Great Glass Elevator? Why can't someone adapt that book?
I think they could.
That would be at least something new in theaters, as opposed to, oh look, we're doing the Chocolate Factory again.
but this is pre-factory. It is
pre-factory.
But I suppose the glass elevator would be more canon than what this is.
Yeah.
You know, and look, this has a lot of songs in it. And Timothy is not as good of a singer as Gene. We have to acknowledge that.
Well, and let's be clear. I don't actually know how good a singer Gene Wilder was. But I think he was more of a song and dance man back in his day, but I think standards were a little looser.
Maybe, but there's still, I mean,
it was craft that movie, but that movie was crafted in every single way to increase both the camp of the entire situation and the creepy factor of the entire situation. So even when Gene Wilder was singing really upbeat songs, there was always note of menace in the back. Yeah. And I think that's kind of played in. So it's not like they were asking him to belt out Sinatra tunes.
Oh, no. But I still think if you're going in, I think you could say that this is a prequel to that film.
Yes.
That this does exist in that universe, with the caveat that I prefer Gene singing to
right.
Chalamet's.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's terrible. It's just that there's not... it's not extraordinary. It just isn't whatever Gene Wilder was.
Yeah, well, and it's weird because since we're talking about the songs, as magical as everything else is about his chocolates, the music is just really kind of pedestrian.
I thought it was okay, but I don't know, but this doesn't have probably songs that are going to stay in your head forever.
No.
You know, it's not an earworm. Whereas, the original had a couple. And that may change for people who see it more than once. I don't know. But yes, after the one time, I'll, openly admit that, the songs aren't phenomenal.
No,
but that said, I think it's better than Wish, Disney's film.
Yes.
I have a lot of fond memories mm-hmm. when it comes to Willy Wonka, and some bizarre ones as well. I'm really nervous about this film, quite honestly. I didn't know if I would care for it at all. Mm-hmm. Because I guess you're right. I mean, I guess in a way I had never asked for this. And partially because we kind of got some, as much as there's a lot that I like about Tim Burton's film, and there's a lot that I'm kind of not as high on. I think Johnny Depp's performance was just a little too weird.
They infantilized Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
In the Burton version. And he was never meant to be that way, I think is the biggest problem I had with that. I mean, because visually you can watch a Tim Burton film like all day.
Yeah.
You could just watch Tim Burton's movies all day, just be like, damn, it's just a fun watch with what he does with his cameras and his lightings and his colors and all of that. But but that doesn't necessarily make the film good. And I think that portrayal of Willy Wonka wasn't good. I think here's my biggest takeaway on this Wonka as a film. And I think if you're going to show us the origin of Willy Wonka, it needs to be spectacular. And in a vacuum, the film's okay.
No,
but I think
know.
As
I mean,
a,
I smiled throughout the entire thing,
but I think as a, as an origin story, it doesn't, if this had, I don't know, it's just not, you know, they drop in all the cute little visual Easter eggs of what's to come, of so much of what's to come that we know and love. And it really, it just reminds you that everything that's not that isn't really up to the standard that we're going to have later. So like I said, so in a vacuum, like if someone watches this out there that has never seen the Gene Wilder version, I would love to know what you think of this film, but then I would love you to go watch the Wilder version and tell me if it fits. Because we're going at it backwards. Somebody out there has not seen the Gene Wilder version and they're going to go see this. And I would be interested to know what that kind of unblemished take is on it from that thing. But for me, that's the problem, is that I think if you're going to do that origin story, it's gotta be across the board spectacular. And the music alone is not. Like I said, some of the visual stuff is great. Like I said, there's some cool bits to it, and it's better than okay. I keep saying it's okay. It's good, but it needed to be better than good. And that's
and I felt like it was.
But was it great? Was it, or was it just pretty good?
I don't think I've been as happy walking out of that movie it's been a long time.
Since yeah,
I've been that happy walking out of the movie.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know that I would say that it's a best picture. I would say Paddington too. And
again, I apologize to the entire internet for not having watched that movie sooner. So
anyway,
yeah. So let's, okay. So you walked out of Wonka,
but
happy,
but for me, yeah, I left absolutely happy. I think, but as far as timeline goes, also, you know, if this does connect to the, the Wilder film, there's at least one, if not two films in between that and that, if that makes it, you know,
so that, or there would need to be to explain it or to,
yes.
Yeah.
No, just the journey of, you know, how does this character become this character? Not because I don't think that it could happen.
Right.
It's
but this movie
that,
doesn't end where that one starts.
No,
from a character
no,
perspective.
I would say there's a good 20 years.
Oh,
at least,
easily.
That takes place between the two of them. And there's plenty of room within those 20 years for this film to take this character, to where he is, in the Wilder film, which yeah. is, you know, really a person who has lost faith in the magic of everything.
Yeah.
Who, who has done this almost, I've often wondered if he actually thought any of the children that got the golden ticket would come and, you know, be what he wanted them
right.
to be, or to deem what was acceptable. Or
I think it was last gasp. I think if Charlie's
yeah.
a rat bastard, the factory just closes.
Yeah. And I think that's almost what he expects in that film, which is not the same character that is in this film. That is not what he expects.
Yep.
But there is an element of disappointment to an aspect of this film Or at least, I don't know, disappointment initially that turns also into kind of a life lesson, so to speak, or a life changing sort of moment for him where his expectations are altered, which is kind of funny about a guy who does all this magical stuff. But, right. But he's brought down to earth a little bit. Quite a bit, I would say.
Quite a bit by the Wilder version. So, okay, let's talk about a movie that is not magical and upbeat. Came out a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, Dream Scenario.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
You did not watch Dream Scenario? So we can't talk about that one. Oh, you're killing me, man.
I will get to it in the next couple days, but it didn't score high enough. With a lot of different people to take precedence. I have to have, I'm in the Critics' Choice Association, and so I have to have my initial ballot tomorrow.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
So I had to be judicious in what I've watched. So
righto. That's fair. That's fair. We'll talk about it after you watch it. I have my thoughts. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I know you watched The Color Purple.
Yes, I did watch The Color.
So that comes out the 20th of December. But we can talk about it because it's been off embargo for like 3 weeks now. Sure. This is not a re-release of the Steven Spielberg film. It is the film version of the Broadway musical.
That was based on the book and somewhat Steven Spielberg's.
Okay, so first, I have never watched the Spielberg film. I have seen clips. My wife has watched it. I have walked through the living room. I have paused for a couple of minutes. But I'm generally familiar with that storyline.
Sure.
That said, I have said that I have a lot of problems with musicals. However, I've discovered that I actually like more than I would have thought.
Yes. But I think throughout you've seen more and you've realized that the genre itself isn't what you don't like. It's aspects of the genre.
Correct. So let's talk about this one. And here's how I'm going to sum this one up because I really can't find another way to do it. This musical is the most upbeat telling of a story of incest, domestic violence, and post-slavery, pre-civil rights era America that I have ever seen. How is all of the music so freaking upbeat?
Well, I think I can explain it. Go ahead, please. I think it's about hope. I mean, there's the two sides of the coin. You know, a lot of gospel music is uplifting.
Which, by the way, is great. I love the fact that musically this isn't one genre of music, because there's like some old bluesy stuff. There's gospel stuff, and none of these styles put me off. Let me just make that clear, because if you can't get revved up by some good gospel music, man, check your pulse. So musical style is not an issue.
Yeah. Well, I would say that the gospel in general was, and I'm no expert by any stretch of the imagination, but for me, it always embodied the hope of that they had, rather than necessarily the reality of what they had. In fact, it was often, you know, someday, the whole idea of somewhere down the road, maybe not today, you know, things will be better. So I think it's more a gospel film than it is, say, I mean, there are elements of blues and things, but I don't think it's a blues film.
No.
If that makes sense. It's not melancholy jazz. It's you know, fundamentally a gospel, hopeful in the face of terrible, you know, sort of
right
movie, sort of, you know, and there's a lot of terrible in this. But there's also, I think, perseverance and, you know, I think that there is an aspect of, you know, hope can get you through some stuff if you let it. And there's a whole lot to go through in this film as far as, incest and you know, there's a lot of the relationships are just messed up relationships.
Yeah.
And this is kind of about rising above those things that would bind you, that would hold you back. And maybe that's more hopeful than reality. I don't know. But for me, I think that the path the characters take in this story is intriguing, because while not by any stretch of the imagination ideal, you do get women lifting women up. You get, there's you know, people bucking against convention, but also accepting aspects of that convention. I like the character struggle here. I guess it's, you know, and that most of the characters struggle. Ultimately it is about, if not redemption, at least forgiveness.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, as often maligned as Spielberg's version is, despite the fact that it won a lot of.
Well, no, and let's be fair, that I don't think Spielberg's film was necessarily a bad film, but it's a film that is of its time. And I think public sentimentality. Well, you know, it's weird. We're in a really weird place as a society right now.
True words have never been spoken.
You know, particularly when it comes to race and you know, the treatment of African American or blacks, you know, and slavery and all that,
and women
and women. Yeah, I mean, this film touches on pretty much everything that still, and I think this is telling, still somehow divides us. You know, and this isn't a film that's about how bad white people are. That's not really what this film is about. It's about, you know, it's more in the community. I don't know how to put it exactly, but it's not a slavery film necessarily, because that's not really what it's about.
Right.
It's post that, but to a certain degree. I don't know. Yeah, I think the film's hopeful because that's the gospel side and there's a lot of gospel in there.
Yeah, and I can buy that. And like I said, as maligned as Spielberg's version is, I almost want to go back and watch it.
Well, you should. But and I should also say, this was a stage musical.
Yes.
If you're going to do a stage musical, you're going to make it upbeat.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean,
I don't know. Is Les Mis upbeat?
I would think to a certain, it's grandiose. It's big. Is it? I don't know that it's all upbeat, but that also, Les Mis is pretty peculiar. I mean,
pretty peculiar.
Well, it is. I mean, when you think about the story and the way, you know, it's somewhat unusual source material for a musical. You know, it's not a song and dance. And there's definitely a little bit of dance in this film.
Yeah, but yeah,
there's not that. You know.
Yeah, anyway. I might have to maybe in the new year go and watch Spielberg's version.
Yeah, they just released it. It just came out in 4K. It looks very, very nice. You know, I don't think. I mean, yes. Are there issues you can raise with Spielberg's? Yes, but there are issues you could raise with this one probably as well. And some of those issues will be different in 20 years or 30 right. years down the road. I mean, it's just, you know, some films are influenced by the time that they're, well, most films, I would say, are influenced by the time that they're made in. And so they need to be viewed at least somewhat with that context or understanding. That doesn't mean we have to celebrate them for what might now be perceived as weaknesses or questionable decisions. But, you know, I think we do have to acknowledge that there's been an evolution of thought. And there still is. And some would say we're digressing again. Or, you know, there's all sorts of things that we could say about modern society. But, you know, but... You know, and then some might say that this film's reactionary too, and is colored by. And I'm sorry, I don't mean that. But it is influenced by, again, the time in which it has been made. And by the people who made it. I mean, Spielberg is a producer on this, but I don't think he was much more than that.
No, he was just a producer.
So,
but yeah,
I think it's. Let me put it this way. I don't think you're wrong. I think, yeah, it's surprisingly upbeat for the story that's being told.
Right.
But again, I think that has more to do with the fact that it was a stage musical than, you know, I think that's a huge part of why that is. And it was made to entertain and educate, whereas, you know, maybe some in other hands, the story is just really more for education than it is for entertainment.
Right.
And to a certain degree, I think that you have to find the happy medium to get this film to be seen by people who probably need to see it or who will benefit the most by seeing it. Anyway.
But I can safely say that this is one of the musicals that falls on the side that I don't enjoy. And for reasons previously discussed. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. I think we've had some other music. I don't know. We've seen so many movies this year. I feel like there was another musical this year that I actually did enjoy, but for the life of me,
you know, this one is not, I mean, there is, the story itself maybe is not traditional musical. But the rest of it, I would say is more traditional.
Yeah.
So, and that's not what you're interested in most of the time.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So we're kind of split on that one. Not as split as we were on Wonka, I think, but
no, I don't think. I mean, I enjoyed it. I think,
yeah. So there you go. Okay, so if you've noticed when you started listening to this episode that it is labeled part one, there is a part two in which we discuss a couple more films. However, if I'd have left this as one huge episode, it would have been over an hour and 40 minutes, which is a bit too much at one sitting. However, we do kind of blur back and forth. We refer back to this episode in the second, and we reference forward a little bit in here, as you kind of caught. So make sure you listen to part two. It is a little longer than this one, but it's still not as long as all four of them put together. So stay safe, be good, and we'll see you on the other side.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.